What's up, Ortandians? This is your girl, Ortandia, and thank you so much for tuning in to your favorite podcast, House of Ortandia. Guys, thank you so much for continuing to listen to me and subscribe and to leave me comments. I so appreciate it. As you can tell by the title, we're going to talk about a social justice issue. I stand with Indigenous people is the name of the title. And so we're going to talk about two things that are happening to Indigenous people. One thing is going on in Canada, and one thing is going on in the Dakotas area, South North Dakota, Montana area. First things first, let's talk about the Highway of Tears. Now, the Highway of Tears is a stretch of land about 450 miles of highway on Highway 16 between Prince George and Prince Rupert, British Columbia. And that's located in Canada. It is a place where well over 40 women, Indigenous women and girls, have gone missing or found dead since 1970. And you probably have never heard of this stretch of road. Neither had I. I can't even remember how I came across it. Some type of article I came across or document. I can't remember. But nonetheless, I've been made aware of it. So I'm making you aware of it so that in turn, hopefully you will get involved. Again, these are Indigenous women and girls that have gone missing and found dead on this stretch of road. There's been little to no news. Of course, you know, you haven't seen it on the news, radio, unless you're following Indigenous people or Indigenous activists on social media, you probably have never heard of this. So it's not getting any of the media attention that it should be getting. And so you say, okay, well, what's going on, you know, on the Highway of Tears? Well, first of all, it's a very desolate place. It's where people, they walk to and fro there. They're trying to get to the doctor. They're trying to go to work. They're trying to visit family. They're trying to get medical attention. There's no public transportation there. That's why they're walking. A lot of them don't have cars. And so they have to walk. And so they're walking. Again, this is a desolate corridor, a desolate highway. It's full. It's lots of trees and wooded area. It's a long 450 miles is a long stretch. So, you know, these people are walking along. They're walking and they are getting snatched off the side of the road. And so British Columbia, Prince George and Prince Rupert, British Columbia, they done little to nothing about these murders, these deaths. And so activists within these First Nation communities, these Indigenous people, they have arisen to bring this to the forefront. And so it breaks my heart, man. And again, they're saying that just looking at some statistics, they are like, I think it was like 7 to 8 times more in Canada, period, 7 to 8 times more likely to be attacked, the women and children, women and girls, than white women. It's so disheartening that in this nation, it was genocide against them. And in Canada, they are attempting to erase this group of beautiful people that God created in his image and in his likeness. And so how can you help? What can you do to support? They need a lot of things. This road, they need public transportation is one that needs to be something. One thing on the agenda. People need cell phones. There needs to be more patrolling on that road by the police. There needs to be. I don't want to. I'm sounding disheartened. I am pissed off. It's like, yo, like, stop trying to erase Indigenous people. Stop it. There's a website that I want you guys to go on to, www.highwayoftears.org. That's www.highwayoftears.org, and you can see what you can do. There are some initiatives on that website. There is a community or a social service organization that's in that community that's working with this group of people. And maybe you can donate some of the things that they need. Maybe you can volunteer. I don't know. But please get involved. Don't just listen to this podcast. Pray. Please, prayer is always first and foremost. If you are a believer, a Christian, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, please, please cover the First Nation people or the Indigenous people of Canada. Cover them in prayer, that God will cover them and protect them, the women, the girls, the men, their land, that God will cover and protect them. Please do that. And the next thing I want to talk about are man camps. And man camps happen in the United States, in Indigenous people territory, namely the Dakotas and Montana. And what are they? They are temporary housing for men to come and work in these areas. And they're usually going to work in those areas to dig to do coal mining or digging or some type of development work there. Namely, which you probably are familiar with, is the Keystone Pipeline by TC Energy. So what TC Energy will do is they'll buy out a lot of man camps. And these are usually like, think of the tiny homes. Think of the, think of shipping containers. In some regard, large shipping containers. These are placed on property, like hundreds of them. They're placed on property, and these men come to live there to work on these development projects, and they live there for a number of months or for however long the project will be. And so, one thing, they don't do a lot of background checks. Anybody could work, you know, for these development projects. They're not doing background checks. They're not doing criminal background checks. And they certainly aren't doing FBI background checks. So you can just go. You can just, a pedophile can just say, I'm going to go and I'm going to work in Montana. I'm going to go work in South and North Dakota for TC Energy to do this, to lay the Keystone Pipeline down, you know? And so there is no front end protection of these people. Oh, I'm sorry. The man camps are around, they surround Native American, Indigenous reservations, cover them. They go through them. They are bordering them, all of that, right? And so every time a man camp is put up, this is research from the Institute of Urban Health, Urban Indian Health Institution. Every time a man camp is placed in these areas, sex trafficking, rape, and murder of Indigenous women and girls and boys increases. So, man, So, they need to, Lord Jesus. First of all, if they're going to put these man camps up, which I'm absolutely opposed to them being put up. If they're going to put them up, they need to do first level background checks, deep background checks. If you're on anybody's sex offender list, you need to not be hired. That's one. But they need to go very deep into these people's criminal. If they have felonies, if they have, I don't care what it is. If they have any kind of criminal, anything, they do not need to be there. Period. So they need to do the front end work. What else can they do? In my opinion, I say go elsewhere. If you're going to be building, if you're going to be bringing people in to do development work and digging and coaling and all of this stuff, find somewhere else to put this stuff. Don't put them on Indigenous people land, because you're not blind. You know the numbers. You can pick up any research done by the Department of Justice, done by state's attorneys, done by whomever, U.S. attorney's offices, wherever. Pick up the research and read and see that women and children, girls and boys, sex trafficking goes up, rape goes up, sexual assault goes up every time these facilities are placed on their land. So find somewhere else to put them. Put them somewhere. I don't care where you put them. Put them. Build a hotel closer to town and put them there. Let them live there. I don't find an abandoned warehouse. Gut it out, renovate it, and let them live there. But don't bring them. Don't just say, "Oh, these are indigenous people." So what? Stop acting like these people don't matter. These people are made in the... And I know people who are Christians can't understand this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Indigenous people, like black people, like brown people, like white people, like Asian people, like all people are made in the image and likeness of God. And you don't get to decide that they're not important. No other human being gets to decide, "Oh, they're not important because they're not white." You don't get to decide that. No human gets to decide that. They are important because God says so, period. And so I think it's lame, it's stupid, it's wicked. Okay, so how can you get involved? Well, contact the Urban Indian Health Institute and see if you can volunteer, see if you can write, you can blog, you can do social media activism for them, whatever you can do, if you can do research, whatever. So again, contact the Urban Indian Health Institute and see how you can be of service to them. Bring an awareness to these man camps. If you go on to Instagram, maybe Facebook too, I'm not sure, but definitely Instagram. If you hashtag man camps, and you'll see there are indigenous people that are heavily involved in activism, and see what you can, how you can partner with them and connect with them to see what you can do. Also, go on to contact the U.S. attorney in your city. There is an initiative called the Missing and Murdered Indigenous. I'm sorry, I'm gonna read it. The Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons Initiative. It's about a $1.5 million initiative that President Trump signed, where U.S. attorneys' offices in areas where there are a number of indigenous people living on reservations, the U.S. attorneys in those offices have received a number of funds, and they are to bring in coordinators to help them investigate crimes that are happening. So the coordinators are supposed to be the liaison between the indigenous person, the tribe, the tribal elders, and the U.S. attorney. So call the U.S. attorney if you're in Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, Wyoming, Oklahoma City, California, Arizona, you know, call your U.S. attorney and say, "Hey, are you a part of these, of the initiative that President Trump signed in office? The Missing and Murdered Indigenous Person Initiative. And how is your task force going? Do you have the coordinators in office? What's going on? Are you prosecuting crime? How can I help?" Keep calling them. Just keep your foot on their neck. Keep your foot on their neck. You're not going to just sit in office and do nothing. The initiative was signed. Your job is to prosecute crimes against indigenous women and children and men. And you are to have a task force in your office of coordinators to bring in, to liaison between you and the elders, the tribal elders. And so are you doing that? So again, keep your foot on their neck. Call the U.S. attorney in your city and see if they are doing what they have been instructed to do. Again, prayer. Again, I'm going to say it again. If you are a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, born-again Christian of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm asking that you pray for indigenous people in this nation as well. Because this nation committed genocide against indigenous people, period, point blank. Forefathers, generals and et cetera in the military during colonization of this country and all of that. If you're not familiar, please Google Trail of Tears. I talked about it before in a podcast that I did, where indigenous people that were in the Carolinas, Georgia, Florida, Alabama were forcibly removed or murdered from their land and forced to go west. So please keep indigenous people in prayer. I stand with them. I stand with oppressed people. Let me tell you something. If I don't know nothing else, I know I have a burden for marginalized people, namely Black people, indigenous people, and brown people. No group of people, I don't care who you are, and women, don't let me forget women. No group of people are more marginalized, oppressed than these four people. No group of people are more, people like to say, oh, you know, Asian people are treated harshly. Well, look at what Asian people are doing. Asian people have become the oppressor. Not all, but a lot of Asian people have become the oppressor. Look at what Asians are doing in Jamaica. Look at what the Chinese in particular are doing in Africa. Look at what they're doing, like I said, in Jamaica and some other countries. So they have taken on, some of them have taken on that, the mentality of their oppressors. So there are some activists for Asian people, and great kudos to you. I'm not one of them. But I will continue to speak up and speak out and speak against things done to women, done to brown people, done to Black people, done to indigenous people. If I don't know nothing else, I know that I am to be a voice crying out for these people, and I will continue to do so. Within the confines of my Christianity, I won't allow activism to control my Christianity. And I won't do it perfectly. I'm not perfect. So I'm not going to do it perfectly. You might hear me say some things that as a Christian, you might twist your eyebrow like, wait, what? Again, I'm not proclaiming to be doing it to be a Christian activist perfectly. And I say Christian activist for a reason. My Christianity defines how I do activism. And so, again, I don't proclaim to do it perfectly, but I will be. I have been, and I am, and I will continue to do Christian activism. I'm not the protester type. So shout out to those that want to go out and protest. Like I've said before, I won't be little protesting, because protesting my city, if protesting hadn't gone on in my city, which is Montgomery, Alabama, a lot of us wouldn't have the rights that we have right now. So I'm all for, shout out to those that want to protest. I'm for infiltrating institutions and systems. I'm for indigenous people infiltrating systems, running for office, becoming police, becoming FBI, and all in that. I'm for Black people doing the same thing, infiltrating systems and structures and being able to legislate things that will change systems, becoming attorneys, U.S. attorneys, state's attorneys, attorney generals, social justice attorneys, civil rights attorneys. I'm for brown people doing the same thing. So I'm for infiltrating systems. That's what I'm pro. And I'm also for keeping your neck on systems that are keeping your neck on people that's trying to, keeping your foot on the neck of people that's continuously doing wrong, calling them by name. That's why I said TC Energy. They're responsible for the Keystone Pipeline going through Montana and Dakota and North Dakota, South Dakota, I believe. So keep your foot on TC Energy's neck. Write them letters. Write letters. Call the office. Google TC Energy. Write letters. Call the office. Keep your foot on their neck. Keep your foot on their neck. If they have a Twitter page, bombard their Twitter page with questions. Why are you bringing man camps into these reservations? Why are you doing that? Why are you putting a pipeline through the reservation? This pipeline will cause the death of people. men, women, and children, it will in fact cause death. You will poison their water. You are poisoning their water. So, you know. You know me. Y'all know me. Baby. I hate bullies. I hate with a passion. And I believe oppressors are bullies. And I hate bullies. I'm not one to say, oh, white people are all oppressed. There are systems put in place by the ancestors of white people that a lot of them are benefiting from right now. Knowingly or unknowingly, willingly or unwillingly, they are benefiting from systems that were set in place by their great, great, great grandparents. That's just a fact. I'm not making it up. I didn't make that up. Whether it's the criminal, the imprisonment system, whether it's bail bonding, whether it's redlining in communities, whether it's the food system, whether it's employment and housing, you name it, every system in this nation has been in place so that white people can live a certain way and the others are put to do what you can, fend for yourself as long as you do that over there. And don't come over here and bring don't bring that over here with us. I'm not saying all white people, but I'm not saying, listen, that's fact. That's fact. And so we got to tear down those systems. Those systems have to be torn down and redone, period. One, with prayer, two, with regeneration, and three, enforcing legislation. That's it. That's my system. Prayer, regeneration. Regeneration just means oppressed people needs to get born again. When you get born again, you get a new, the wicked spirit that you've always operated in, you get a new spirit. Now that spirit becomes alive. Now that spirit is connected with Holy Spirit. Now you are in connection. You are acceptable by God. Now you get to learn what God requires. You get to see people as God sees people, and you change. And so prayer, regeneration, and then rebuilding of those systems. Rebuilding of those systems, / holding people accountable holding people accountable that are oppressing people, / no more slashes. All right, like I always say, I want to see you in heaven with me, and please, people, get out and vote. If you can, you can do a mail-in ballot. No excuses needed. Usually you have to have a reason why you want to do a mail-in ballot, but because of COVID-19, you can do a mail-in ballot. Please go online. I wish I had the website in front of me. Maybe it's on my mail-in ballot. Let's see here. Let me see. Let's see. No. Is it on this card? You want to do an absentee ballot? Okay. Dang, it's not on any of this paper. Wait. I did see something. If you miss it, hold on. Call the County Board of Elections in your city. In Philadelphia, it's 215-686-3469, 215-686-3469. That's in Philadelphia. But call the County Board of Elections in your city and ask for an absentee mail-in ballot. Please express your right to vote. Don't give in to, voting is not important. I know how I've switched topics, but voting is important. If voting wasn't important, they wouldn't be pulling out all the stops to suppress your vote. They wouldn't be doing the things that they're doing to suppress or to hinder or to stop your vote from being counted if voting wasn't important. So please, please vote. Please fill out the census. If you have not, please fill out the census. Be counted. And that is my close. I know I had about three closes. Like I always say, I want to see you in heaven with me, and I'm out.